Wow. Man. Glory to God. Okay, I'm gonna start our reading like I have been doing for the last couple weeks. This is the third in the series. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. This is just a portion of that scripture. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now I'm gonna ask you some questions, and you don't have to answer them, but just in your heart. Your job, did you pick it, or did you reverence God by letting Him pick it? Your spouse, did you pick them, or did you reverence God by letting Him pick? Your home church, did you pick it, or did you let God pick it? The state you live in, did you pick it, or did you let God pick it and reverence them by doing that? Now, greater reverence in our lives opens the door to a greater manifestation of His glory. We're going to see that. I want greater reverence in my life because I want more signs and wonders, miracles in my life. I want more favor in my life. And I'm telling you, if I reverence Him more, I'll receive that. If I'll honor Him, He'll honor me. The little bit of honor I give Him, He'll give me a little bit back. If I give Him great honor, He'll give me great honor back. I'm telling you, God is a good God, and He will do what His Word says He will do. So one of the ways, and we've been talking about different ways that we honor Him, and one of the ways that we reverence the Lord is by the attitude we have. If we have a good attitude, it honors God, it reverences Him. Now I know I've taught on complaining before, but I'm going to touch it today because I felt that I'm supposed to. Okay, let me just ask y'all, since this will put us all in the same boat. How many of y'all have arrived at not complaining? Okay, I know I hadn't arrived. Lord have mercy. No. So this is for all of us. We're all in the same boat. Amen? So what we're going to say today is don't complain. It dishonors the Lord. That's our attitude. We want to have an honoring attitude to Him. Now, as churches, as this church and all Christian churches, they ask for volunteers to do this or do that. And if you're going to volunteer, don't complain about it. Oh, that was good. You almost missed it. That was a great word. Don't do it just because you're asked to do it. Do it from a willing heart as unto the Lord. If you don't want to do it, then politely and courteously ask to not be a volunteer. Don't do it with a bad attitude. Don't do it complaining to anyone who will listen. It dishonors the Lord when we do it that way. Follow instructions and keep your mouth and your attitude right. Oh, that's good. Obey the instructions and go with the flow. If you don't, it won't go well with you. And I'm not talking about with pastor, I'm talking about with the Lord. Because it won't please the Lord. Because everything is about Christ. It's about Him. We get to serve. We get to give. We get to help. We get to. So in your vocational job, don't complain. In your church, don't complain. In your marriage, don't complain. It dishonors the Lord when we complain. Now, 2 Chronicles 19 and 7 says, "So now let the reverence and fear of the Lord be upon us." So we're learning how to enter into greater reverence and fear of the Lord in our lives. I don't know about you guys, but I know in the last couple of years, I have been checked on this complaining thing more than ever before. I mean, really checked about it. I have a check in my spirit when I start complaining because I certainly haven't arrived at this, but I get a check in my spirit. And I realize that when I'm complaining, I'm not reverencing the Lord the way I should. I belong to God. So when I complain about the things of my life, I'm complaining about God to others. Let that marinate for a minute. When I complain, not only am I being disrespectful to God, but I am hindering, get this, this is the thing that really came to me. I am hindering God's mercy and grace from going into the situation that I'm complaining about. I want His mercy, His grace in this situation, yet I'm complaining about it. I'm not praying about it. Maybe I am praying. Maybe I'm praying and complaining. I know it, getting quiet. It's good stuff though. I am helping Satan to block my answer by complaining. That's revelation. I am helping Satan to block my answer by my complaining. It'll make you think twice before you complain. I was going to complain about something the other day. It just, I mean, like we do, you know, just natural things come up. And there was something that was a little, I thought it was a little high. And I was fixing to complain about it. And the Lord really checked me. Don't complain about that. Because you want my presence in this situation. You want to see a change in this situation. And I thought, yes, I do. I'm believing for certain things in this situation. He said, don't complain about it. You're going to short circuit my power by those complaints. And His glory wouldn't be revealed. So I can reverence God by not complaining about things. I know we heard part of a devotional from Sarah Young this morning. I want to read another one. This is from Jesus Calling. When you do routine tasks for me, they gain meaning and even more sparkle. Your efforts become a way of expressing your love for me. The more you love me, the more you can enjoy doing the task devoted to me. I'm less concerned about the outcome of your work than the attitude of your heart. When your deepest motive is to please me, I deem your work good. Isn't that good? Oh my God. I mean, that's in anything. That's in doing the dishes. That's in doing your work. That's in anything in our life. Taking out the trash. You're doing it as unto the Lord. You got a right heart. You're not complaining about having to do it. Okay. Now y'all ready to go deeper, right? We're going to go deeper this morning. Acts 5. And we're going to start with verse number 1. And I'm going to skip around in some of these. I'm not going to go all the scriptures. But this is about reverence. Now a man, and I may say these names wrong, and if I do, just give me grace to say it wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. A man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira likewise sold their farm, and they conspired to secretly keep back for themselves a portion of the proceeds. So when Ananias brought the money to the apostles, it was only a portion of the entire sale. God revealed this secret to Peter. So he said to him, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your heart and make you think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? You only pretended to give it all, yet you hid back part of the proceeds from the sale of your property to keep for yourselves. Get this part. Before you sold it, wasn't it yours to sell or to keep? And after you sold it, wasn't the money entirely at your disposal? In other words, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to lie. There was no reason to lie. How could you plot such a thing in your heart? You haven't lied to people. You've lied to God. The moment Ananias heard those words, he fell over dead. Everyone was terrified when they heard what had happened. Some young men came in and removed the body and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came into the room with no clue of what had happened to her husband. Peter said to her, "Tell me, were the two of you paid this amount for the sale of your land?" Peter already knew what it was. Sapphira said, "Yes, that's how much it was." Peter told her, "Why have you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? I hear the footsteps of those who buried your husband at the door. They're coming here to bury you too." At that moment, she dropped dead at Peter's feet. When the young men came in, she was already dead, so they carried her out and buried her next to her husband. Get this, here it is. The entire church was seized with a powerful sense of the fear of God, which came over all who heard what had happened. The reverence of the Lord is over that whole body. I mean, the reverence of God. Two people have just died for lying in the body, and now the reverence of God is there. I guarantee you, people are not looking at their watches going, "I sure hope this is done quick," because I understand they didn't have watches at that time. I got that. They were looking at the sundial on the wall. Thank you very much. Okay. In other words, they didn't want to rush through this thing because they weren't concerned about the timing, because they don't want to drop dead in God's presence. They want to reverence the Lord. All of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, my purpose here is to reverence the Lord. I'm coming here to learn. I'm coming here to hear. I'm coming here because the Word of God is going to build me up. It's going to teach me, show me, lead me, guide me. Proverbs 19:29, I'd never heard this one. This is so good. The irreverent have to learn reverence the hard way. How many times have I been irreverent in my walk with God and had to learn things the hard way? I've got stories. You've got stories. We all have stories where we learn things the hard way. We didn't have to learn it like that. God was bringing His Word out. He was giving us His wisdom. It's crying out in the streets, the Bible says in Proverbs. But sometimes we just wouldn't hear it. We weren't reverent enough to stop and listen to it. The irreverent have to learn reverence the hard way. Only a slap in the face brings fools to attention. I'll let that one go right there. I didn't tell you to slap your neighbor in the face. Now, so we can get the reverence of God the easy way, or we can get it the hard way. They learned it the hard way. See, they were thinking, Ananias and Sapphira, they were thinking naturally about the church. They were thinking naturally. They were thinking too casually about the things of God. But the church is a supernatural church, and God is in charge of it. You know, Ish, from my viewpoint, in the last year, two, three, we've seen so many, you know, differences of how things are done and how, you know, we couldn't even have services for a while and people, you know, and they're giving and stuff, just different things. We could not be here. There's great possibilities we wouldn't be here today, but God made a way for us. He showed us it's a supernatural church, not a natural church. It's not about the number. It's about God's will and God's direction and God's. Hey, I'm telling you, he'll do whatever He's got to do to get it taken care of. If there's anything He showed us, it's not about us. It's about Him. Now, hang on. I'm not dismissing our part that we play because we play a part. You're supporting this morning the ministry that God has raised up. You're supporting this ministry by sitting there, by listening, by hearing, by learning. You're supporting. Your support means so much to us. You don't know what your support means to somebody else. Your reverence, you don't know what it means to somebody else. You keep them going when they want to quit. You keep them going when they are just at the end of their rope. You keep them going by your support and your reverence for the things of God. You don't know how it affects other people. You don't know how things would be different if you weren't the way you are. But if anything He showed us in these last few years, this is a supernatural church. It's Him. Now, after these two people died, the entire church was seized with a powerful sense of the fear of the Lord. A great sense of reverence came over all of them who heard what had happened. The services changed. The people had great reverence. I'm thinking, this is my natural thinking, there was a whole lot of repenting going on. I ain't going to be clipping my fingernails in that service no more. That ain't happening. Ain't happening. I'm going to be sitting up listening. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be paying attention. No. Ain't going to be irreverent. Ain't going to get slapped in the face. Thank you very much. I'm not going to be talking unnecessarily. I'm not going to be moving around unnecessarily. Now look what happened next. It says great reverence came in that church. Now this is Acts 5:12-16. The apostles performed many signs, wonders, and miracles. We're always praying for signs and wonders and miracles. That's what we're believing for. But in order to have that, God is saying there's got to be a greater reverence in order to have it. And He's trying to get us to the place in our personal lives and in the church where we have a greater reverence, and then He can trust us with signs and wonders and miracles. As the believers were wonderfully united as they met regularly in the temple courts in the area of Solomon's porch, no one dared harm them, for they held them in high regard. And it says, and more people believed in the Lord and were added to their number, great crowds of both men and women. In fact, when they knew Peter was going to walk by, they carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, knowing that the incredible power emanating from Him would overshadow them. Even His shadow would bring healing to them. That's reverence in the Spirit of God when somebody's shadow. You don't touch them, just your shadow walk by and you're raised up from your deathbed. Just the shadow goes by and you're no longer sick. Great numbers of people swarmed into Jerusalem from the nearby villages. They brought with them the sick and those who were troubled by demons, and everyone was healed. See, but some people see the church as a human institution, filled with defects and problems. I understand local bodies, there's problems there. I get that. But you got to remember, there's problems, but there's a God solution. It is a spirit. God's in charge of the whole thing. I understand. We're imperfect people and we run it in imperfect ways. I get that. But The church, God's church, is supernatural. And it doesn't take long. Now, we've been teaching on reverence now. This is the third week. It doesn't take long to make adjustments in your heart. It didn't take them long in that church to make adjustments. And it won't take us long. And every one of us has adjustments we need to make in our reverence for God. Every one of us. There's not one here, not one listening, that doesn't need to make adjustments. We all do. And the signs, wonders, and miracles will come after we make those adjustments in our lives. We'll see. As we greater reverence the Lord in our personal lives too, we're going to see greater signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see greater favor. After all of this, the things of God were no longer lightly esteemed, taken too casually. Okay, now this is 1 Peter 3 and 15. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging Him, giving Him first place in your lives as Lord. We reverence God by giving Him first place in our lives. Now this is something that was put on Facebook a few weeks ago. I don't know, maybe a couple months ago. And I just screenshotted it. It's Phyllis Brewer King. I don't know her. But I thought the examples were really good. It said, what would it look like if the disciples valued worship, reverence in the Lord, like many believers do at their church gatherings today? Well, Peter, this is how if it was them. Peter, well, my mother-in-law came in for the weekend. Andrew says, well, I was kind of up late last night. James, the son of Zebedee, says, Sundays are my only day off. John says, I was there last week. Besides, I'm not really being fed. I got to tell you something. I'm going to share something. As a pastor, that's like stabbing me in the heart. I mean that with all my everything in me. I mean it. Somebody will, I'm just not even being fed. I'm just not going to go back. Well, you ugly outfit. You only came three times a year. And it ain't my fault. It ain't these other teachers' fault that you ain't getting what you need. It's because you are a lazy Christian. That's why you ain't getting what you need. That's because you're not hungry the way you should be. It's not nobody else's fault. Don't blame somebody else. Take responsibility for your own self. Don't say you ain't getting fed. That church's not feeding me. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And it's time it was called out. It does not give you an excuse. Well, if you're not being fed somewhere, then go somewhere else. But you get yourself on that pew and you listen to the Word and you be committed the way you're supposed to be committed. And God will get whatever He needs to get to you. But you can't treat it casually. God said, I'm done with this casual stuff. I want reverence in my house. This goes on to say, I had to take a side journey there. I'm sorry. Philip said, I don't like that particular speaker or band. Bartholomew said, had brunch scheduled with my Uncle Zed. Thomas said, I just don't feel like it today. Matthew said, I drank too much last night. James, the son of Alphaeus, said, my dad, Alphaeus, wanted to fish today. Thaddeus said, the kids had soccer today. Simon says, I don't have to go to be saved, and God knows my heart. Judas said, getting tired of hearing the same old message to pray, read, and evangelize. I thought that was good. I thought that was so good. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God hates it, the casual way some Christians are reverencing Him today. And we've got to make changes. We've got to make adjustments. We've got to honor Him better. But the natural man, I know I keep giving you this scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It's foolishness to go to church every week. It's foolishness to give your tithes and give your offerings. That's just all foolishness. I mean, you just don't understand. No, that's the natural man. He's thinking wrong. He's thinking people are in charge, but people are not in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge of His church. It's a supernatural church. Psalms 103:13 in the Amplified Classic Version says, as a father loves and pities his children, so the Lord loves and pities those who fear Him with reverence. Okay, now, let's discuss something about the Old Testament. I really thought this was kind of supposed to be brought in right here. In the Old Testament, they had reverence and respect when they entered the Holy of Holies. Now you got a priest, and he's going in there, and he's going to minister in the Holy of Holies. Now he's got bells on his robe, And he's got pomegranates between, they're sewn in between the bells on the robe. And so he's going to be dancing before the Lord. The reason for the pomegranates was because the bells would clang. They would make a bad noise, a clanging noise, when he's worshiping the Lord if they didn't have the pomegranates between them. It's the type of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You need them both. But so he's dancing. He's dancing before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. And he's just getting it. They hear those bells. Those bells are really going. Then all of a sudden they don't hear nothing. What's going on? Nothing. Nothing. Priest wasn't right. You say, what? The priest was ministering in the Holy of Holies where the glory's at. He treated it too casually, and he's dead. He dropped dead. You say, I don't get it. They had a rope tied to the man's foot. Why? So that if the priest didn't treat it right, and he was in the glory, and he did drop dead like that, they could drag him out, because they couldn't go in there and get him, because they're dead. Talk about some reverence. I bet when the priest died in their midst, it was like, whoa! Nuh-uh. Mm-mm. We changing some things the way we talk around here. We changing some things about what we doing and not doing. Uh-uh, we changing. Amen. We making adjustments. Yeah. That priest was treating the things of God too casually. No big deal. It was a very big deal. Ananias lied to Peter. It's no big deal. He didn't think that when he dropped dead. Because to God, it was a very big deal. And God judged Ananias and his wife immediately. False reverence. Jesus called the Pharisees out for making a show of money that they gave to the temple. Yet they were failing to take care of their aging parents or others in need. False reverence is an outward show of religious behavior. False reverence, their motive is to be seen of men. If you honor God, He will honor you. Greater reverence, greater manifestation of His glory. Ephesians 5 and 21 says, it tells us to submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Now, if you respect your employers, you're reverence in the Lord. If you respect, we already talked about this one, if you respect your parents, your reverence in the Lord. If you are properly joined to the body of believers that God has called you to, not you've called yourself to, but God has called you to, you are reverencing the Lord. If you have a right attitude, you're reverencing the Lord. If you reverence not only your mother and father, but your elders, if you honor your elders, you are reverencing the Lord. And God is telling us, I've got to show you and teach you how to honor and reverence people, and then you're going to have a greater revelation of how to reverence me. That's really what he's teaching us through people. Because today, going to church services become too casual. If we reverence God properly, we'll go to His house consistently. If we reverence His Word, we'll read it consistently. If we reverence Him, we'll pray consistently. Nobody's going to have to prod us, push us, pressure us. It'll be an act of our heart. We want to do it. I understand we all get bad attitudes at times. I get that. That's every one of us. And we have to make adjustments, though. The whole purpose of coming, one of the purposes, not the only purpose, but one of the purposes of coming is to come make adjustments in our lives. Come hear the Word and make adjustments in our lives. Because we're trying to be more like Christ, and it's going to take a series of adjustments throughout our lifetime. Whew, that's good. 1 Corinthians 8 and 3, but if one loves God truly with affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of His blessing, that's a great area, recognition of His blessing, recognizing God in your life at reference. Reverences Him and honors Him when we recognize it was God that gave us the job. It was God that blessed us financially. It was God that did this, and it was God that saved us in this situation. He saved us from a car wreck. It was God that went before us and made the crooked places straight in this situation we've been praying about. It's God that got the prescription drugs at such an unbelievably low price. It was God, the natural things that the natural man would say is foolishness. They're not foolishness if you reverence God. You realize it's God Almighty. It's God working in my life. life that did these things. And I must recognize it. That's reverence in Him when I recognize those things. Grateful recognition of His blessing. He is known by God, recognized and worthy of His intimacy and love. He is owned by Him. Y'all still here? You going home? Okay, I need you to hang on a minute. I got a lot more, but I ain't going to get it all, I'm sure. But we need to hit this one. Okay, this is Numbers 12, 1 and 2. Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses behind his back because of his Cushite wife. I don't know what a Cushite is, but they sure wanted to talk about her. You understand? So, now, let me ask you, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get ahead of myself. He had married a Cushite woman. They said, is it only through Moses that God speaks? Doesn't He also speak through us? God overheard their talk. God hears conversations that we have not heard. Miriam and Aaron, that's his sister and brother. Was it any of their business who Moses married? You want to get really down to it. You know, we think everybody's business is our business, but it's not. You know, the scripture in Thessalonians, the scripture's all through the Word about mind your own business. Boy, is that a good one. Because it reverences the Lord when we mind our own business. And when we don't, ooh, we can get in trouble. I'm talking about, you talk about, you ain't had no trouble until you've had trouble with God whooping you for saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. I'm not talking about condemnation. That's certainly not what I'm talking about. I love how Juan brought that out in the prayer this morning. Not condemnation, but it'll still, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about when the Lord just says, I don't want you to live your life like this. I want change. You're going to have to make an adjustment. Moses, it still wasn't their business who he married. Okay, so and I know there's a little phrase that everybody says, instead of bring your own bottle, which that shouldn't be a phrase for the church, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in. Because I like to meddle sometimes. But the phrase is MYOB, mind your own business. So they were talking about Moses behind his back, and God overheard their conversations. Here it is. They lightly esteemed the things of God. No big deal. Very big deal with God. Now it goes on to talk about Moses, and then God called them all out. He called Miriam and Aaron and Moses out, and he started talking about this situation. And he said, I make myself known to him in visions and different stuff. And he said, without riddles, he ponders the very form of God. Here's the scripture that I didn't even know was in the Word of God. This is so cool. This is Numbers 12, and I'm assuming this is verse number 8, because this one's not numbered. So why did you show no reverence or respect in speaking against my servant, against Moses? Now, look at what this is saying. This is saying to us, when we talk bad about others, we are not reverencing the Lord and respecting the Lord the way that we should. And there will be consequences. Miriam, Moses' sister, got leprosy, and she was quarantined, we know that word, quarantined outside the camp for 7 days. So we got to reverence the Lord in a greater measure, all of us. If we treat people and jobs, I love that the way Juan prayed, because some of the things he prayed were exactly in my notes. This particular thing was right in my notes. If we treat people and jobs and spouses and parents and elders and bosses and co-workers and friends with reverence, there's a parallel in the Spirit. We will treat God and the things of God with more reverence. If we treat people and jobs and spouses and parents and elders and bosses and co-workers and friends with little reverence or lightly esteem them, it'll carry over into the things of God and they will be lightly esteemed in our eyes. No big deal. So there's a parallel between our job in the natural and our spiritual life. If you talk bad about your boss, fellow employees, the company that's cutting your check, it's a bad habit. We develop bad habits. Every one of us, we develop bad habits. And this is the place those habits are broken. They're broken. The Spirit of God breaks those habits out of all of our lives. Every one of us.